Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap now. Say, oh yeah.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. I'm excited this morning about our guest that's on here. He's no stranger to our program here, but he's giving us an update on the ministry and let us know where the ministry is at now and where it's going. But before we go any further, we'd just like to say hello to the founder and the CEO of this program, Beverly Beasley, over at Granny Place. Granny Place is a nonprofit ministry that's reaching the needs of our at-risk youth. You can find more information about Granny Place on our website. It's www.grannyplace.org. And without any further delay, we'd like to bring Eric on to give us an update on the ministry. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Joe. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you, brother. Thank you once again for being a guest on our program. Man, I'm always excited about having you on the program because I know that you have a passion and a heart for the ministry. So where are you at in the ministry with Our God is Alive?
Well, one of the things we're doing right now is we have a gentleman named David Vaughn. He's down in Beaumont, and he's been helping organize our program. Our Guys Alive is a program for reintegration in ex-inmates for reintegration into the system, back home in society, I'm sorry. And with that being said, what we've been doing is we started a financial literacy class. He's been teaching it down in Beaumont right now. And then we have a parenting or fatherhood class that we're teaching down in Beaumont also. Sometime next month, we should be starting our financial literacy class and our fatherhood class in Texas, in Dallas, at the Hutchins Unit. We've been working together with the Dallas Leadership Foundation trying to organize that class with them. So we're doing a few things that are working out really well right at this point in time. Now, the other thing that's happening is today we were supposed to be down in Beaumont, but some things came up and cause us to have to stay here. But the Beaumont contingency, they're taking care of making absolutely sure that everything is going right. And they're meeting with some of the people from TDC and some people from other ministries down in Beaumont so that we can help the people when they get out of prison. So the key is for us is when men, young men get out of prison, and women, that they have a place to go, not just go home. They have a place to go. The regimentation that they're used to, some of them are going to church all the time. Every time the church door is open, they go to church. But we want to have the opportunity for them to feel comfortable doing the same thing. You know, I had a young man that came out of the unit, and he was, you know, gun-ho. And we talked for a while, and he was just extremely gun-ho. But because of some of the pressures of family and being on parole, you know, his desires slacked somewhat. Initially, he was going to church, and then he stopped going to church. And you know, his family couldn't get him over to the church on time. And I kept trying to tell him, "Hey, go wherever, go next door, go to the church. It's not your denomination. Go anywhere, but keep going, just like when you went to church in prison." So, you know, we're still working on that. We're working on the getting a lot of people together so that they can start understanding what is necessary, because we need a lot of help. You know, it's not about us. It's about the individuals. It's not even about what ministry or what program you belong to or who you believe, how you believe. It's all about helping those people so that we can show them Christ through the way we work. You know,
some people are Muslim that come out, and some people have other beliefs. Some people are the different types of Christian beliefs we have between Baptist and Catholic and Jehovah's Witness, and we all have our own opinions of all those different ones that I just mentioned. But those guys come out of prison, and we need to make sure that they are have some help to be able to stay the route instead of, or stay the course, as we say, instead of leaving and falling back into their old ways. You know, it's not our job to make them believe the way we believe. It is our job to help them to see how Christ works in our life through the things that we do. And so that's kind of where we are, Joe. We're working very hard to make sure that others understand what's going on. Trying to get with David Vaughn on the phone here so that we can actually have him call in, and he can explain some of the programs that we're doing also for selling the process. He has come up with some ideas to say, okay, we can help other transitional housing or other halfway houses, so according to where you are in the process, to be able to come up with products other than standing on a street corner, to be able to transition into entrepreneurship and understand how to do certain things so that they can be successful in what they're trying to accomplish. And that's and
oh, that so sounds great. That sounds great. Now, Eric, I did not receive a number from David. We would love to have him to be on this program.
Okay.
Is there any way we can get him on here also? Because we definitely
right.
would like to tap in on the information and the resources he have available.
Well, I can give you the number out loud because that's the number I'm going to give you later on between his number and mine. So you can call him at 409-782-8940.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we will give him a call. We have a guest on the line here, Brother Daniels, our co-host there. He's going to ask you a couple of questions and keep the conversation going while we're giving David a call.
That's fine. That sounds fantastic.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Hello, how you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. Thank you. Hey, we have Eric on the line here. He's from he's with Our God is Alive Ministry, and he was sharing with some things concerning the ministry. And we're getting ready to bring on David Vaughn in a few minutes. So is there any question that you would like to ask Eric at this time?
Yeah. I'd like to know, how long did it really take him to develop this program up like this?
Well, in actuality, the program's been developing probably as long as I've known Joel, or even longer. But Our Guys Alive itself has been established over a year, but we've been working on the program for about, maybe 10, 15 years. Each process, God has given us a certain step that we needed to do. At one time, we just were working on the mentoring side of the program for the youth. We were chaplains at the Dallas Youth Village, so we worked on that part. But as for me in particular, I spent time in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and the last 15 years I looked at what needed to be done to help men reintegrate into the system. I mean, into society. I call it a system, but into society. And what I mean by that is that I came out of prison with the college. I had a college degree already when I went in. I had a lot of good contacts, and so I didn't have as many hiccups as other people would have. But I did have a lot, but I saw and used the programs that were available. And so after a while, I started realizing that a lot of people don't know that the programs are there, or they don't have the support group that they need to have to be able to do the things they need to do. And so we started, Michael Clark and myself, started working on that on the program up here in Dallas. David Vaughn and Pastor Vaughn, John Vaughn, up to start working on the program on the in Beaumont area. And we came up with it where we are today. So it's been a process. It hasn't been something that just happened. You know, of course, we set up the ministry through the state of Texas and the nonprofit and that type of thing. But then you have to go out and start talking to a lot of people and see what they're trying to accomplish. You know, we're not just the ministry for us. We're the ministry that's trying to incorporate all the different programs of other ministries and see if they can be resources for the people. It's not about Our God is Alive. It's about Joel's prison ministry and your ministry and your program, and how we can connect with you to be able to help other people when they get out of the different units, or the Dallas Leadership Foundation, how we can connect with them so that they can, with their program, so that we can help people and give them a resource when they come out of the prison. We have a lot of context because of the preaching in the prison that's being done. And so that's how we establish our God is alive. So it's a process for us. It's been a process for, in your program, it's a process in the other programs. And now what we're seeing is that instead of everybody being disjuncted or separate, we need to come together as one, even though we have our own individual ministries, but come together as one so that we can incorporate these programs for the good of the people coming out of prison and not just for ourselves.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, that sounds
amen.
Great, Eric. That sounds great. Now, Eric, today I'm going down to the Henry Wade Juvenile Center today. What program do you have established for our young people? Because we know the great need of ministering to our young people as a whole. So as we wait for David to give us a call, give us an insight on that.
Well, one of the things that we do at the Dallas Youth Village is we help establish the program, the youth programs for them. And what I mean by that is when I was I used to teach financial literacy at James Madison High School as a volunteer program. And so we're trying to teach these young men about the need to understand about budgeting, understand about finance, understand how they should live their lives in accordance with God's will to be good stewards of their finances. We also talk to them about parenting. A lot of young men, like at the Henry Wade Juvenile Center, a lot of young men, the Dallas Youth Village, they already have children, okay?
Yes.
But so we try to teach them about parenting, but we also teach them the counter side of parenting, which means that we explain to them about their own parents, okay? And not in a negative way, but to say, hey, you know, a lot of the kids say, well, my mother is in prison, my dad is in prison, and I have a problem, and that's just the way it is. And you explain that's not necessary, because there are other ways to live your life. There are other ways, and when you become a parent, because Mike and I have always told them that now that you're here, you are an adult. You are a grown young man, because you've made grown young man decisions. And with those decisions come repercussions. So what we try to do in the parenting program is to express to them, now that you've made those grown-up decisions, how that affects you and how you need to live your life, and so that you can pass on something positive to the next generation of kids, or to your brother, or to your sister, or to your cousins, or whoever looks up to you, because most of these young men always have someone that they look up to. We always ask them, so would you like for your sister to be going out with a guy like you, or would you like for your brother to be like you? And some of them, you tell, I have a big brother. I say, but doesn't he look up to you? And a lot of times they do. Okay, so those are the types of things we try to bring to the young men. But there's also mentoring that you bring to them, so that each time you go out there, we preach the gospel, and that's fantastic. But I always noticed that Jesus fed people. Jesus always even showed us his own apostles where to fish, you know. And so Jesus was always dealing with what is important to the physical being so that the spiritual being could be fed. And so that's kind of I think it can be done at Henry Wade and some of the other juvenile programs. And the mentoring is imperative for a juvenile program. But do you know a lot of young men are sentenced to stay incarcerated until they get their GED? But then some of them don't know how to read and write, and nobody ever asked them that. You know, and so the ones that cut up and act like they're crazy sometimes, it's because they don't want anybody to know that they can't read or they can't write. And so because of that, you know, we have to be able to mentor them and then find out that they can't because they trust us or have a lower self-esteem of themselves, and we work with them so that they can learn and so that they can do some other things. And that's the kind of things we believe that you bring to the table for the young people, whether they're adults or whether they're juvenile units.
You know, Eric, that is so true. That is so true. Because as we interact with our young men, we're speaking of men in this case here, we see that there's a great resentment and a great heart, you know, and they're being hard to society, to the world. And I'm glad to see that you and your ministry and ministries that you're associated with is working on the whole man. You know, because we share with our young men Bible scripture, but we also talk about life, because you can't separate one from the other. You know, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What that mean, gain the whole world? I know how to make money. I know how to move some things. But do you know how to be successful, the success that comes from God? And I'm glad to see that you're on the front line of that, man. You know, you're trying to let those young men know that they're valuable. That they're valuable to God. Now, Eric, as you're making your way to the Beaumont, I believe, what are you going to be doing down there today? Share that there with our listening audience. Then we're going to bring Brother Daniels on to ask a couple other questions. We're waiting on David to give us a call, so we pray that he's able to call us up before the end of this program, because we'd love to hear what he has to say regarding this ministry.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we're doing is that we're looking at the reintegration program. As I said, we're getting with a number of different ministries to discuss how they can work together and how we all can work together with TDCJ to be able to put a process for reintegration with the high-level and medium-level offenders. A lot of times what happens is a lot of programs will say, well, we can't take this person and we won't take that person because they're abusive or they're hard to deal with or whatever. And what we need and TDC needs and the society needs are people that are willing to deal with and help people that are hard to deal with, you know, because that's the biggest deal. So when what the program is down there is that everybody's coming together to discuss how we can, well, first of all, they're TDC grants. So the people need to know that they're TDCJ grants that are available, money available, for training and working with the people that are high level or hardcore or medium level offenders. Some have schizophrenic or some have other problems that we could go through one by one, but to be able to work with them and say, okay, how do we reach that population? Because see, one thing people forget is that in truth, those people are coming out too, okay? They're reintegrating into the system also. And one of the things that may sound hardcore is this. If you don't help them, they may be the ones that offend you, okay? And so we're looking at saying, how do we help these people also? You know, it's easy to get the kid that is in prison and maybe he made a mistake, or adult that's in prison and maybe he made a mistake. And so now you talk with him, and that person is really trying to change their lives. And we all like that person. But it's the one that's in the room with you and continues to cut up, and the person that just seems to be so hardcore that we need to reach. And so that's what's being discussed. What programs are we putting together that we can help reach those people? How do we do a universal approach so that each person, when they go to a certain place or facility, that they have the same type of training or same type of understanding that's needed for them to become the person that they need to be, and so that they can fit into the society. I've never known any child to wake up and say, I want to be a bag man. Never, 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 never. I've never seen any child say, I want to wake up and be homeless. Never, 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 never. But that happens over a period of time through the experiences that they have with life. You know, and those experiences eventually determine how you become and what the outcome is. And so we're talking about making sure that we have a continuous experience. It's like when they say it takes a village to raise a child. It does take a village to raise a child. But this is the village. Our Christian beliefs, our programs, the people who we are, the different ministry, we are that village. And we are that village to help raise or bring people back into the society that they've offended, or the society that has thrown them out and cast them out. Because in a lot of cases, the young men or women feel like they've been cast out and not accepted into society, or they don't belong in the society because of their backgrounds or their families or just whatever reason that they have. And we have to be able to show and help them understand that, yes, they do belong. And, yes, they belong to the society of Christ. In Christ, we all belong to Christ. And by doing that, they can look at the clouds different. They can look at the opportunities different. We're helping them with housing. We're helping them with clothing. We're helping them, as I said, with the different ministry programs that are available out there. And that's what's important. You know, I not to be negative, we can all preach the gospel because it's easy to talk. You know, in the prison system, they always say the pair of lips to say anything. You know, but what's important is a show me program, to go out and be part of that program, as you do, Brother Joel, I know you do, and go out and feed the homeless. But you also preach to the homeless because they see the light in your heart. You know, you're just not just talking to them. You're asking and trying to bring other programs, computer programs, and all different other things through your ministry. So, and we have to do that, but we have to do it a concentrated effort as one big group, all working together. The Bible says we all fitly joined together. The eye can't do what the lips can do, and the nose can't do what the ears can do, but they all work for a purpose to make the body whole. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what the meetings are about. That's what the phone calls are about, conference calls. That's what all of this is about, is being able to join together as one, so that we can be a solid body of Christ.
Oh man, that is well spoken. That's well spoken. As you log onto this program, you'll see our slogans saying "Help change a life." You know, we can't do anything apart from God, but if we unite with other ministries, other programs, to make a difference in the lives of men and women for the glory of God, man. Help change a life. You know, Eric, as you were sharing the ministry, I'm getting a sense that God is up to something in the ministry. I'm getting a sense that as you go forth, that you've been led and directed by the Holy Spirit, brother. And, you know, and I see a sense of empowerment through the Word of God to change it, men and women's lives. You know, as people have been involved in this ministry, they see that this ministry is about self-development. You know, because they know that it's just what it's about. Because, you know, for people to spend their time, their efforts, and their energy to build someone else up, you know, that's a carry now, brother. And you said, our Lord say he cared about people. I recall when he was did a great day of ministry, and at the end of that day, the people was hungry, and they said, send them away. He said, no, let's take care of their need. That's the whole man right there. And I like some of the things that you said, man. Matter of fact, I like all the things that you said regarding the ministry. And so my hat goes off to you.
Well, it's important. You know me for a while, Joe, and the reason why I get on the radio and I talk is because I want people to understand that they can call in and they can have an opportunity to work with other people who have been incarcerated. They can call in and they can have a place for their families to deal with and talk to people that can help them and find locations or find programs for themselves. You know, it's not about how can I say this? I'm getting emotional, and so hold on a second. Most programs are about the program, even though they say it's not. Because if it is about the program, then they'll combine with one another, and they'll find different ways and communicate with one another and find different ways to be able to help that one individual. Not 10 individuals, but just that one guy. You know, the Bible speaks of, If we lose one oxen or one sheep or one cow, what will we do? We will go out and find that one cow, and when we bring it back, we will rejoice because it was lost. And so it's the same thing as he says in heaven. You know, when one man comes or one woman comes to Christ, all the heavens rejoice. Well, it is our job to go and help even that one individual. Not cast him out and say, well, man, I can't work with that guy. He's just horrible. Because that's the guy God sent to you. That's
yes.
The guy God to our ministries. And if you can't work with him, then we are lacking what Christ has taught us, what we believe, say we believe. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says, in their areas, but it says give give him up to the so the devil won't take his soul. I understand that. Everybody else say that's important, okay? But what is most important that Christ didn't cast any of those guys out. Christ didn't even cast out Judas, you know? And we say, well, that was for a purpose, but that is not the whole program. Christ didn't pass him out because Christ had love for all of us. He came to save us all, the good and the bad. And so it is not our determination who's too good or who's too bad. It is up to God himself who's too good and who's too bad. And so
Yes, that's true.
And so that's what's so important. That's what's affecting our program. I'm sorry.
Yes, Brother Daniel, you like to chime in this conversation?
Yeah. He said something just a while ago about being illiterate. What would you say was the level of illiteracy in the state of Texas? I mean, what's the rating? You know, most time you got some kind of level or goal or,
right.
Do they report committee or something about this or something, you know?
Well, the report says that most prison inmates, this is the TDCJ level, are overall at the fourth or fifth grade level of education for reading competency and math competency. And so that therein lies a major problem. A lot of time when you're talking fourth and fifth grade level of competency, that's a problem for a person, obviously, because it's hard for them to get a job. They're embarrassed about the situation. There's so many things that come up. And so that becomes the problem. There's documented evidence in the TDC reports that say that that's part of the cause of recidivism, even, because people come back because no one has helped them get to a higher level of understanding of their finances, a higher level of their dealing with their parenting program, higher level of, so they can get a job and go out and understand the different opportunities that are available for them. And so that's where your problem is. That's a good question, because we have to be able to raise our people up, raise them up so that they can have a higher level. And that goes back just to the outside of just the prison system or those who are inmates. That goes to the educational process that we have as it is. You know, a lot of people say they go to college so they can get a job. Well, and therein lies a fallacy, because the ones that don't want to go to college to get a job, they don't work at learning in school. But my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We think it's because just the lack of knowledge of understanding the Bible, but people perish because they lack knowledge to understand or be able to read or understand what's being said to them. The society is set up such that if you don't understand what's going on around you, you fail. And if you fail, then you fall into a system that caused you to be incarcerated. And
Hey, that's great. Hey, Eric, we have David on the line right now. He's going to come in and share with us some things that just what you have been talking about.
David's finally on the line.
Good morning, David. Welcome to our program.
Joel and Eric, good morning. It is awesome to be here with you. Thank you for at least considering me to be a part of such an awesome program. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Now, David, we've been talking with Eric regarding the ministry. We realize that you and him is working in sync in the ministry. Will you please share with us some things that are going on in the ministry of what you are putting together?
Well, Eric and I, and with the grace of the Lord, are putting together what we call Our God is Alive ministries, whereby we are trying to help our incarcerated brothers who are behind the fence as well as beyond the fence. And God has been moving in such an awesome way. I don't know if I can explain all of it, but as we've been working, my dad and I have been working in the LeBlanc unit for guys who have substance abuse center who's going to be coming home in the next 6 months. Under Eric's leadership, we've been able to start teaching financial class, as well as we've been getting literature together now for parenting classes. And so then we're also getting ready to start putting together a partnership with the substance abuse counselors there. So we are really, really excited. Something happened this morning, and if you guys don't mind, I want to share that with you because it's kind of the light or the essence of what we're actually going through and what we participate in. This morning when I got up, the Lord allowed me to read Ephesians chapter 3, and I was really happy about that. But, well, I think the verse was, when I looked at it, was the end, that do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that's at work now unto him who's able to do. And so I read that part. So then I read the rest of the chapter, and it says our job is to preach the gospel and to make known the mystery of the love of Jesus Christ to those that don't know him. Then I get up. Eric says, we got to talk this morning. So I say, okay, great. So, Eric, I get up and I put on my good clothes because of the meeting today at 10 o'clock. But just as I'm getting ready to leave the house, another person is bringing her babies to our house so that my wife can watch them because she has to go do something. Well, just as I'm turning the corner to come to the place where I'm going to sit and talk to you guys, my phone goes off and it's my wife. The person who's dropping off her babies, her car is now in the ditch.
Oh, wow.
And, Eric, I have to go get my chain, hook it up to my truck, hook it up to her car so she can get out the ditch so she can go where she has to go. Now, keep in mind, this whole morning when we woke up, I'm going to a meeting to talk with Mercy Hearts to talk about families with incarcerated victims. And then my wife was opening up our house to help someone who needs to go somewhere to take care of their life. But on the way of doing that, her car gets stuck in the ditch. Somebody's got to get down on the ground, hook the chains up, pull the cars out of the ditch. Now, hold on. I cannot be upset because I'm not where I think I should be at the appointed time because I hear my phone going off, but I can't grab it because I'm trying to pull somebody's car out of the ditch. Not only that, my clothes are getting dirty because this chain is going to hook itself up unless somebody gets down and gets it hooked up to the car. Well, thanks be to God. Had a little help from my son. Got the car pulled out the ditch. Went in the house, wiped off, and then made it to the call. Only to share these words. I know sometimes I know sometimes that we get bogged down about where we should be and what we should be doing and how we should be doing it, but I'm convinced based on the way that the sun is shining and the rain is not falling today, and it's roughly 50 degrees out here, and God is just smiling on us. Kim's car is out of the ditch, and I'm on the podcast telling the listeners that we are working in this prison ministry because our job is to hook the chain up to cars that are stuck in the ditch that they might get back on the road and be productive in life.
Oh,
amen. Amen.
I like that. I like that, Dave. I like that, brother. Oh, God is awesome. God is awesome. Now, David, as you were sharing that, man, I was getting a sense that, you know, this is God's business. And sometimes in life journey, we get a little detour. We get a little stuck in mud and stuck in the mire and stuff. But we have to continue to do the work at hand there, brother. What keeps you and Eric going in the ministry, man, in spite of all the things that you're up against, man, but you still keep going forward?
What keeps me going, Joel, is before I started doing what Eric and God have invited me to, the Lord exposed some wonderful things to me. In 2010, Dad and I were able to take a 24-hour plane trip over to Vietnam and be the guest of these guys who were building a power plant to sell energy back to the country of Vietnam. And it was there while we were standing on a mountain looking out that I realized that God had something great for us. When I used to sell medical equipment, I was driving past the LeBlanc unit one day, and the Lord said, "You will start my work, and I will make you comfortable." And I thought that I was already doing his work, but he was just exposing different things to me. And what I'm coming to learn and understand and appreciate is though we have plans and we like to see them work, what I'm learning now is we're just seed sowers. We sow seeds. We hope it falls on good ground, and sometimes when it falls on good ground, it takes a while for the process to come up. And so we just have to be encouraged to try and keep sowing good seeds and try and help people of the faith to see God a little bit better in how we all work together. I'm encouraged because I send guys home every month. I got a phone call the other day. It said, Reverend Vaughn, the day I maintained last week, I bet there were 84 of us on us that left, 84 of us that left the Walls unit. Of the 84 that left the Walls unit, Reverend Vaughn, I'm sad to say I don't even think 20% of us will stay out. So when I hear stuff like that, Joel, I'm challenged by the fact of beyond preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, can I partner with people like Mercy Hearts? Can I partner with people like Health and Human Services? Can I partner with people like Parole and TDCJ to make sure, and employers, to make sure that our men and women coming home have opportunities to experience the fact that God is alive? Really, really, Joel, when it boils down to it, it's exactly what it says. The only way that we can express that God is alive is by putting our hands together with other believers and making opportunities available to people that don't know that he's alive. So,
and you know, David, and that is so true, bro. I know what you were saying there, because as I go down there to the Hutchinson Center, I do a Bible study down there each week, and we're studying, I call it New Testament survey. We talk about Hebrew, but we only not only talk about Hebrew, but we talk about the patriarchs, and we go to the Bible, and we see that those men that were called faithful, they all had problems, they all had situations that they had to deal with, but God was able. And the young men are being fascinated. They said, man, I didn't know that about Moses. I didn't know this about a certain character that God called faithful. And I said, well, maybe God is calling you or considering you to be faithful from this point on, because you can't undo the thing that you had done. And I like what you said there, Dave, because sometimes it breaks my heart to see the same young men we talk to for year after year, they get out and they read back again. They read back again.
And I think God, for those of us who are willing to listen and participate and get our hands bit and have to get on the ground every now and again, it's to us to figure out how it is that we utilize the friends that we have and the believers that we have and our circle of influence to be able to put some things together to be able to help them. Now, I'm not trying to create an enabling situation. I'm trying to create, with the help of God, a situation whereby people don't have to go back to the only thing they know. Now, the reason why it's difficult for me is because, for lack of a better term, I'm a Cosby kid. I grew up with both my mom and dad. They sent me to college, and they both preached. We've been in church ever since. We've been in church my whole life. Now, of course, the Lord has delivered me some things, and I'm smart enough to know that I've seen life over there, and I'm smart enough to know that whatever I do now, I want to do to bring glory to God. But I was talking to my wife's aunt the other day, and she has a cousin who was incarcerated, and he's been back home for about 10, 15 years now. But his situation is such that he's a felon. When he checks that box, he can't get the type of job that he wants, and so he goes from job to job, and he's also on medication, and there seem to be some issues there. But I'm only bringing that up because when we think about the people, we think about preaching and Bible study to people who we would consider normal. But we don't know how many people who come to our classes and come to our services have to visit the pill window or have been dealing with different issues. But anyway, all of that to say, my aunt said this to me. She said, David, son, how do you turn on the light for a man whose light has been out since he's been a child?
Yes.
That's the challenge. How did you know?
Yeah,
please know that I read Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, and Paul said it like this: my job is to tell you guys of the mystery of the love of Jesus Christ, because ain't nothing happened outside of the will of God. Period. Now, That's what I know. And when I was sinking deep in sin, it was nothing but the love of Jesus that lifted me. And that's what I'm here to tell you guys today. Now that he's lifted me, I've got some friends if you're willing to be helped. But now, hold on. Don't come up here thinking you're fixing to get help, because you're going to have to do some things yourself. Now, you're going to have to make some peace with your past, and you got to realize that I can do nothing. Apart from God, I can do nothing. So I
oh,
just,
that is
you know,
so
that's,
true.
That's the message that here's what motivates me. Every year, churches have revivals, and that bothers me.
Go ahead, tell them why it bothers you.
It bothers me because a revival suggests that the people who are attending are already working in the kingdom-building process of God. However, I almost believe inherently it's a bunch of people who aren't doing work who are just going to hear a good sermon, and that bothers me.
It's tradition, David. It's tradition. And you know what? You hit on something there, because if we encourage people to do things, they say, well, we never done this before. And I wonder why. This is what the Bible talks about from Genesis to Revelation. God said, if you love God, but love your brother as yourself. And that means that if you love your brother, you shouldn't want to see your brother living a life of sin and shame. You should try to do something in the will of God to pull them up out of that, like you did. Hook your chain of salvation to somebody and pull them out of that ditch, man. Dave, tell us where you're from, because we got callers that's calling in, and we like people to call into the program. The number is 310-982-4126. But, David, where are you located, and what are you doing where you are?
We are located in Beaumont, Texas, and currently now, again, we're working here at the LeBlanc unit, whereby through the chaplaincy there, Chaplain Ayler, and my dad, and I have to also give credit to Hurley Clayton from Dayton, who helped us tremendously when he was there. But through the grace of God and these guys' leadership at the Richard P. LeBlanc unit, we've been able to preach on the first Sunday, third Sunday, and the fourth Sunday. Now, thanks to Eric, we've been now inviting people and other ministries to come in on the third Sunday and tell our guys who are going home why it is God had them do what they do. So that you'll understand how this is going on. I believe it was in November, October, James Guerrero from Mercy Hearts came down and talked to our unit. And then in November, Eric and Mike came down and talked to the guys about what they're doing in Dallas. Then we took a break in December, and then in January, James Guerrero came back down, and he talked to the guys about what he does. And then tomorrow, I've got a guy from Austin talking about his halfway house tomorrow in the unit. And in fact, the guy with the halfway house that's coming down to the unit has already taken in two guys from the LeBlanc unit as a result of our God is Alive ministries. But then today at 10:30, we're meeting with James Guerrero and local churches so that they might start putting together Mercy Heart chapters in their churches. So I've got like four or five pastors and six or seven prison ministries to be there to listen to James's presentation, as well as Bill Cliver from Restorative Justice from TDCJ in Huntsville. He's supposed to be in attendance, that we might be able to understand how guys and girls can get clothes and get the free cell phone and figure out how to get their license and birth certificates and social security cards and, you know, those kind of things. And I'm excited about today because, like, God, this is really awesome. Oh, and then I have to give a shout-out to a young man by the name of Jaquavis Peacock. Real interesting deal, and show you how God is at work. He's a young man at our church, and I hadn't been to Mount Sinai in a while, and then he went off to college, so I hadn't seen him. And then one day I just happened to be talking to him, and he shared with me that he was trying to do some kind of mentoring thing there in school. At the school that he's at, because there's some kids that have some issues there, or he has a lot of kids who are dealing with incarceration. So I heard that he wanted me to come speak at his at his meeting. But by the time I found out about the meeting, it was too late. But here's the long and short of it. When I called him and told him what Eric and I are part of, he said, Reverend Vaughn, please let me be a part of that. And anytime I can help you, that would be awesome. Now, this kid is probably in his late 20s, and he's teaching in the Port Arthur Independent School District. And my heart just man, we got another young cat that wants to see lives change.
That's powerful. And say, Dave, we got a call on the line here. This is Michael. He does ministry here, also here in Dallas, Texas. He have a passion for incarcerating inmates and trying to get them reestablished, similar to the things that you're talking about. And I'm so glad that what you share with us, because we do street ministry. We host a program twice a month or once a month, and we bring other ministry. Brother Cloud, I learned, man, this ministry is too great to do it alone, man. You bring other people
yes,
in.
Sir.
And it breaks my heart to hear a ministry saying, well, I don't want nobody to come in and steal my. It ain't yours.
Woo!
Really
okay,
different.
Be careful, Joel.
It's not yours. So, man, I just hold on here. Let's let Mike come in here. We're going to bring you back here, bro. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joel.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the program. We have Eric and David on from Our God is Alive Ministry. And were you able to hear some of the comments that were being shared with our listeners?
Boy, did I. You know, some of the things that was missing this morning reminds me of a statement or a comment that Jesus himself made to the Pharisees and the scribes. And as you're well aware, they were the pastors and the minister leaders in his day. And he confronted them because and accused them of keeping the traditions of men rather than the traditions of God. And I think that's what the brothers are talking about, is that the church has now adopted a different culture and tradition. And that culture is bringing people into the church who are already in the church and ministering unto those who've already accepted Christ as Lord. We have a twofold mission. That is to honestly feed the sheep, those who have already accepted Christ, so that they may grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, who is our example. And as they grow up and mature, they know it's not about them, it's about reaching out to the lost. Jesus expected to manifest himself through all the believers so that he could do greater works through us. He's not limited anymore, unless we choose to limit him. And so the mission is to go ye therefore into the world, teaching and ministering unto those and making them disciples.
And you can't
that
do
is that.
So true. Hey, Mike, tell us something there before you go any further. Tell us about your ministry and what you're involved in at this time, because we want to get Eric and Dave back on the line here. But just give us a short brief of what you're doing so we can all come together. That's what this ministry is about, man, bringing ministries together. So give us as few words as possible what you're about, and then we'll just bring them back in because they are on the road and they're traveling.
Right. Well, first and foremost, you know that our jail and prison ministry is partnered with you and the Trinity Jail Ministry. And in addition to that, we have a ministry that's aimed at addressing some of the issues that affect black men, many who are coming in or who may still be in prison. That initiative is called Black Men Down, Missing in Action, Missing in Family, Faith, Education, Economic, and Government. Men who have become disenfranchised, caught up in a criminal justice system, demonized, and then ostracized, even after they paid their for their crime or for their disobedience to society. When they return into society, they're not encouraged and oftentimes are deliberately sabotaged so that they cannot successfully reintegrate. They lack the community support and access to the resources necessary for people to be able to make a living for themselves, let alone to be able to effectively engage with their families. One of the programs that we're now working on is a program that was started by Saddleback Church over 20 years ago, and it was called Celebrate Recovery. And the purpose of that program is to provide fellowship and God's healing powers through the 12 steps and the 8-step recovery principles based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And this experience allows us and helps individuals to be changed. And we open our doors by sharing our experiences, our strengths, and our hopes with one another, by reaching out to people who are hurting and suffering from addictions, from codependency, from poor self-esteem, but those who feel like they're less than and are not entitled to. We're called
Amen.
To be ministered unto the sick. We are to be salt. And the purpose of salt is not just to season something, but also to preserve it, to preserve life as God intended, to bring all nations. And that word nations in the Greek literally means ethnos, which means different ethnic groups, that we're not just here for the Jews or not just for the Gentiles, not just for the free or the slave, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all men and women, all boys and girls. And so we have to go out and reach it. So we're doing that. We have a community partnership program with Health and Human Services where we actually on-site can assist individuals in applying for their entitlements and benefits to meet their daily needs, such as Medicaid, TANF, which is aid for dependent families, SNAP, food stamps, and so forth. We have a work reentry program where we do job readiness skills and training, assisting individuals and not only acquiring the skills necessary to obtain employment, but to maintain that and then actually actively engage in helping people to find appropriate employment activities. So we're trying to provide a holistic approach, not only by through the resources we have, but also by connecting and establishing collaborative efforts. And one last thing.
Amen. That sounds great. Hey, Mike, I tell you what. Thank you very much for sharing that, man, because I know that y'all have a heart and a passion for that. And the reason I want you to share that because David and Eric are doing the same thing. I want these ministries to come together, man, because we talk so much about duplication. And that's no need to be, duplication. That's time for informatization now. Apply these things that we got on paper. And I think that these two ministries are doing it to the maximum. But it's always the labor's great, but the labor's a few. So that's why we come together on this here program once a week to share a ministry, man, throughout the country, man. We talk to people overseas, and they have the same passion we have in the U.S., man, to help change your life in Jesus' name. Mike, if you don't mind, hold it on. We're going to let Eric and David come on because they're traveling, and they're getting ready for a program that's coming up, but we want to maximize their gifting at this time. Now, Eric and Dave, as we get ready to wind down this program, where do you see this ministry being at a later date? Because we know this is a progressive ministry, man. This ministry is shaped and fashioned by the will of God, brother. But what is our part in helping supporting the ministry, man? Because as we go out and share the ministry, people say, well, I want to see some results. But sometimes we don't get to see it. How do you keep doing what you're doing?
Well, for me, I'm not interested in the statistics, and David handles most of that stuff. My passion is just one by one, individual by individual, knowing that the person that I know, I keep in contact with a lot of people that I know, I watch, and that they're doing better. And we ask that person to help somebody else. So I have everybody on speed dial so that when I want to call them or when they want to call me, we are able to help someone else. That's how I know how we're doing. Now, the state and the government and everybody else wants all these statistics, and that's where David really comes in because he's able to formulate the information that's necessary. He gets on my case because I really don't care about writing everything down, and I know that's not right, but that's done. But, so he's been instrumental in pulling a lot of stuff out of my brain that I haven't put on paper. And so what we've been able to do is to say, okay, here, like right now, he's meeting with all those people, and he's able to say, okay, here's where we are, here's what we're doing, here's the intake for what we're trying to accomplish and what we're accomplishing. And he left out the man he calls Dad is Pastor John, who has been doing it for pastoring in the prisons for 22 years. And many of the people that are out in the system, out in society, including myself, by him, and he taught us to look forward and not just at the gospel, but at how we live and how we are able to help other people live, to really believe in what Jesus Christ tells us about. If you love somebody, you'll love that other person. You'll show the love of another man. You'll show another person. So we don't just believe in, the programs, because the programs, a lot of people are in the programs for the financing. David, as he said a few minutes ago, some things that he hasn't mentioned that will help fund other ministries, not just ours. And also we want to be able to collaborate and have stamp type programs. In other words, if I'm teaching financial literacy in my class, you're teaching the same kind of financial literacy because we use national programs. If you're using a fatherhood program, you're teaching fatherhood program in the same program because we're using national programs. And these, what I mean by national programs, these programs have been funded and these programs have been founded and helped and established through national collaborative efforts. So that when you go into the computer, you can look up that program and you can download that program and you can use that program. My background, Joel, as you know, is I'm an educator also. I taught in college and a number of colleges. And the reason I say that is because I'm always willing to go train the trainer, basically. You go train the person in the community into that program. You train them on the process. And then from that point, you're able to duplicate the system. You're not trying to take over their program, but you're trying to make sure that we have a same type of program of training for each and every man, so when they get back in the community, they're able to understand health care, understanding, as Michael was talking about, a number of David and our God of a lot of time, we talk to everybody about how to get the information that's necessary when they get back in prison, before they even go out the door, to make sure they don't have any warrants on them, before they even go, to call down a DPS, little things that they don't know, they need to know. And Salvation Army does a lot of that in the process when they bring people in. But, they're very closed-mouthed about what they do also. So it's one of those things where we need to get everybody, not just at the table, but everybody working together so that everybody knows all the resources. Project Rio, people say, is not in existence, but it still is. It's under Texas Workforce Commission. And some people say that it was no good for them. But in my case, even I was able to get all the things I needed because I was persistent, but I had the knowledge also of what I needed to get and how to get it from the people, articulating my words, being able to understand what the program was, and so they couldn't tell me they don't have it. So that's kind of like what we're doing.
I like that. Because we are so, those people are so quick how they get that out of it, but you're supposed to get what's meant for you out of that situation. And I like that. And David, before we get out of here, brother, would you share some things with us concerning the ministry that is laying on your heart?
As I was listening to Eric, he is right. I am a technical type of guy, and as I was listening to Mike, interested in talking to Mike once the program is over. One of the things that we are aware of, and I will use this term, we use literature that has cognitive behavior evidence-based backing behind it, because we want – it's one thing to be excited about doing ministry, but it's another thing when you're educated. And I heard Eric talking about my people perish for lack of knowledge. One of the things that's been thrown upon me, even though I've been in prison ministry for 16 years, I've been so excited to preach sermons, but I didn't realize that we have so many different classes of inmates. You have guys who have been there 2 years. You got guys who've been there 5 years, guys who've been there 20 years. You got guys who've been there with no meds. You got guys who've been there on meds. You got guys that have been there with education. You got guys there with no education. And the thing that's on my heart, Joel, is how is it that we put a program, a comprehensive program, that every prison minister who preaches the God, every prison minister, and I don't care, but let me let you know exactly how I feel about this. Dad said it best. We have Baptists, we have Methodists, we have Catholics, we have Jehovah's Witness, we got Muslims, we got everybody. But the problem is we have no sinners. Now, if the people of God could preach the gospel and save sinners by expressing that our God is alive, by showing the love that God has shown to us, we just might advance the kingdom.
That's so true. That is so true. Thank you, gentlemen. We're getting ready to wind down this program here because we like to be timely, because as we go out and we teach people, brother, sometimes, you know, people say, I've been led by the Spirit. Now the Spirit is orderly and in control. Brother, thank you all, because we're going to do this again next week. We're going to do this as often as possible because it's needed, and we thank God for this opportunity.
Wow.
You know, as I call each time I call you gentlemen up to be a guest, Eric, you're no stranger to this program, brother. You got a regular slot here. Because I remember when we first met each other, we went to a homecoming, or one of our faithful servants. You know, he was in the ministry. And, you know, me and you connected right then, brother. And we've been together for quite a while, and we walk the same path. We have a heart for juvenile ministry and jail ministry. And so we know you're going to definitely continue to be on here. David, I've talked to you on Monday nights as our meeting. I've been unable to attend because of other obligations, but we will get together Monday night, and we're going to pass that number along to Michael.
Mike.
David, to you and him to get together because y'all have a passion. That's what this is about, man. This is about ministry, brother. This is what this is about.
You know,
so I'm glad to see that, man, that we're not in this alone. You know, I always think about the prophets. Say, man, I'm doing this by myself. No, you not. I got people in the north, south, east, and west that are doing the same thing you doing. And say, God, open my eyes that I can see these things. And so, gentlemen, thank you very much. Y'all have a blessed day. And I'm looking for a good report from Eric, because he's going to tell me everything that went on down there with y'all today.
Yes, sir.
Well,
God bless
David
you.
I said David will make sure everything. He's the reporter.
Okay, great. We want to thank our co-host that's on the line right now. He's been waiting on here patiently, and we want to thank him for calling in each and every week. That's Ricky Daniels there. And we want to thank our guest, Michael Flemings from Zion Chapel Primitive Baptist Church, that they have a heart for ministry. And, brothers, y'all be careful. Have a blessed day. And remember, this is God's business. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Before we get out of here, then, we're going to have a word of prayer. David, will you close us out in a word of prayer before we be dismissed?
Eternal God, our Father, for your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness towards us, again, simply we say thank you. We say thank you, first of all, because you look past all our faults and you continue to meet and exceed every one of our needs. We say thank you because we realize it's you, oh God, who gives us the courage and the strength to get up and do what it is you called us to do. We say thank you for, God, as you were with Moses, you'll be with us. For as you were with Joshua, you will be with us. As you were with King David, you will be with us. And God, as you were with Paul, you will be also with us. So God, continue to allow us to work out our own plan salvation as it is. We lead men and women out of darkness into your marvelous light. For each man that's on here, we pray now blessing upon his family, upon his finances, his health, and bless even his enemies. God, for those that are preaching, we ask that you give them strength. For those that are listening, God, we ask that you give them the blessing that they stand in need of. For you have made us, and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pastor. So, Lord, continue to be our shepherd, so much so that we shall not want. And we'll forever give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For it's in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus we pray and believe all things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, gentlemen. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen. You are listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, encourage you, and challenge you. Be blessed.